From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, an extended interview with Trace Travers. He is the publisher of GoldenBearReport.com, the California Rival site. We've done a lot of collaboration this week. Really appreciate him helping us out. As don't always get that level of participation between sites, so really thanks to him. As it's an uncommon opponent for Ole Miss, an uncommon opponent for Cal. We've done our best to help you understand both sides. He is joining us today again just to discuss the game, discuss the Bay Area, everything to do with Cal. Neil McCready traveling to Berkeley today. As you know, he was in Covington Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Chicago a couple days because, of course, he's going to work in a Chicago trip when he can, and then to Cal today for the game tomorrow night. So Neil is traveling today. I'm going to lead you into the interview here in a little bit up at rebelgrove.com. A lot of stuff. We have picks up yesterday. If you missed that, we've got a beer garden with Jeffrey Wright where they talk a ton of college football. We'll go over our picks for the week in that beer garden, so check it out. Also, Russell with another edition of the Soft Verbal presented by Billy's Pecans, so check that out. It is a mailbag. Russell answers recruiting questions for a little over 30 minutes. That's on the beer garden page for now if you subscribe. We're going to move it over to its own location, but with an iTunes thing, we need a couple episodes there before we do that. So currently, In with the Beer Garden, check it out on iTunes or on the site at rebelgrove.com. Also, got an interesting story up this morning. I talked to James Bruno on Thursday. He's an 18-year-old Northwest student. He is a lifelong Ole Miss fan. He was born with cerebral palsy, and if you talk to him for even 5 minutes, you realize that he and his dad shared more Ole Miss memories than anything else. You ask him about his best memories, his best days. They all involve his dad, Jimmy, and him with Ole Miss football. In August, Jimmy tragically died of a heart attack, and a couple weeks later, between a family friend and some help from Ashley Luke, Matt's wife, they hooked Matt up. I mean, they hooked James up. He came to Ole Miss, spent a day at practice, really made a memory for him. So I talked to James about that yesterday. It is up on the site at rebelgrove.com. Check it out. And credit to Matt Luke and his staff. When you help people, it's good no matter what. No matter how it happens or what happens, you make somebody's day brighter. That's special. However, I really give Matt a lot of credit here because he didn't seek out media. He didn't seek out to make sure everybody knew what he did. He just did a good thing. And a mutual friend told me about it. I thought it was worth sharing. I thought the Ole Miss fan base would want to hear about it, but it was not something that had been thrown out there previously. So credit to all involved. Really made for a great day. With Ole Miss and Cal, the line has stabilized. It's still at 4. The over-under down to 72 from 72.5. Nils thinks that is the free money. So 9:30 Central Time on Saturday night, 7:30 out in Berkeley, Ole Miss and Cal. Big game for both teams. You know, Cal had an over-under in Vegas of only 3.5 going into the year, so they didn't expect much. They're already 2-0. They beat North Carolina across country in game one, although Brandon Harris is the quarterback. And then Weber State. So we'll get to Trace in a second. First podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Check them out for the daiquiris, the ribs, the lunch specials that are $4.99. And remember, free gas Fridays. Even though Ole Miss not at home, they give out some free gas today. So be checking out the Oxford Exxon Twitter account where you can get an opportunity to tweet at them, be clever, and win a free tank of gas from the Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal next door, hand spun shakes, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and Oreo options there. And you got to have a car to get out to Highway 6 West, so check out Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. Highway 25 South in Amory, as you know by now. Just contact Corey, and he will give you a quote in as little as 15 minutes during operating hours, maybe even not operating hours. You can chop it around. You're going to come back to him. Check him out there at Clark Ford. And when you get done with your deal, you're ready to pick up the keys and purchase the car, tell Corey you heard about it on the podcast. He'll give you an extra $500 off there. So you can't beat it. Great deals there at Clark Ford in Amory. Really appreciate all you guys' patience all week long as we have had to kind of do these podcasts on the fly. We needed a day yesterday just with other things going on and different things of travel. And a little more ad-heavy shows this week, I'll admit it, because of being in different locations and needing to piece things together. So appreciate all the listeners more than you know. We'll get back to a regular setting for things next week. It'll be a little easier listening experience. Hopefully the producing has been okay on my end. And we only have one more day of this, today the last day. And again, you get a very, very lengthy interview with a Cal expert to find out about the Rebels and the Bears going into Saturday night. So one more day of abnormal, but you're getting the show. We'll go into it here in a minute. Also, quickly before I go into a very, very extended interview, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage. Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Ask Jason Lowe about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates goes down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLowe, JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, the parent company of Right Way Meds. We're talking sildenafil. Get the alternative to the little blue pill. It's only $10 instead of $50 or $60. Same length of effectiveness, and you will be ready in as little as 15 minutes. So 662-252-2321. Give them your doctor's name. They will get that prescription ready. And if you're not local, they'll even mail it to you. So check them out. Again, TysonDrugs.com. Now we're going to go into it. Again, an interview with Trace Travers of the GoldenBearReport.com. Trace, thanks for taking some time with us today. Ole Miss and Cal, 7:30 Central. I'm sorry, 7:30 Pacific, 9:30 on Saturday night. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of it today. It's been a little bit of a busy day, but thanks for joining us. It appears that should be a good and what I'm feeling high scoring game on Saturday night.
Oh yes, you guys get to experience Pac-12 after dark in person. It's a wonderfully terrible experience.
That's what's funny about that is I loved the 11 a.m. game in Oxford last week. Fans hate it. Yeah. I was home by 5 o'clock with drink in hand and grill lit. But I've got a feeling with all the night games, you guys don't get to experience a whole lot of that out there.
No, the closest we had was, next week they play USC up here at 12:30, which is a better start. And they played North Carolina at 9 o'clock Pacific time over here. So we get a little bit of it, but not quite 11 a.m. start.
Yeah, all right. We're going to talk plenty of football. I have to ask, though, it's going to catch you completely off guard because I didn't think this was coming, but we ask every first-time guest on our podcast, the rest of your life, if you had to pick one condiment, and that's all you could have condiment-wise the rest of your life, what's the pick?
Oh, man, that's real tough.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you can do two categories. You can do if it's like one specific thing or if you get – the gamut in the entire family of one type of condiment. I'll allow you to choose one of either one.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Honestly, God, it's like I'm halfway between like Dijon mustard and barbecue sauce. That's a tough battle to pick there. Probably go with the Dijon mustard. Okay. It's a little more versatile.
Yeah, that's the thing is, if you get entire families of everything, where if I just said, okay, you can have every mustard available, you probably pick mustard no matter what. Or if you said you could get every barbecue sauce even, that changes a lot because of vinegar and mustard and tomato bases and different things. But it's always just interesting. We've had every answers from cocktail sauce to sriracha to ranch dressing all the way down. So it's just our...
Didn't even think of cocktail sauce. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a bit of our initiation. So anyway...
Okay, fantastic.
I don't know where to start. There's a lot of places to start. Let's start overall, though, the program. Justin Wilcox comes in. He's in year one. I've watched a lot of your videos this week. If nothing else, he's incredibly tight-lipped about injuries.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. It's a drastic change from the previous coaching staff. He's very straight-laced. He'll talk about something if he wants to. If he doesn't, he won't. So, it's helped the program. You can see a change in, first of all, the defense. They can actually tackle now, and just a straightforward approach to how everything is done. There are so many little details that he takes care of.
I'm curious, because in the SEC, they have a lot of the same things. There are certain programs, Mississippi State's really big about not discussing any injuries whatsoever. Ole Miss, probably one of the more open schools in the conference. But typically, when they don't talk about something, it's complete and utter paranoia down here. What is it out there? What's the reasoning for some of that?
It's all similar. It's all football in the end, so there's a bit of that paranoia. I don't understand why it's so big of a deal, because once you get out there on Saturday, you'll see, oh, this guy isn't playing. And people figure it out on their own. Honestly, they'll see a guy who's like in a knee brace and on crutches or something and say, oh, that's what happened to that guy, or something that happened this week, actually, with Watson going down.
I loved that going into the week, reading you guys' content, reading some of the content from other media out there, that he would only say lower body injury, and then you get to practice, and he has a right knee brace on, and he's on crutches. It's like, well, you kind of gave that one away, bud.
Yeah. We kind of heard, like, little leaks of it on Saturday after it happened, but, you know, they're going full on. That's the NHL injury report way of doing things, apparently, so.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a lot of hockey down here, so we're not as well versed on that. But I agree with you. So we're talking about Wilcox. What was kind of the expectation going into the season? I mean, obviously there's a coaching change, so it's going to be new and all that, and then immediately you get the really nice win over North Carolina, even though Brandon Harris is the quarterback. But heading in, what was kind of the thoughts on the season?
Well, they're mixed, to be honest. A lot of people. Like, the Vegas over-under was 3.5 for wins.
Oof.
And that I think they're already on pace to go over that.
Yeah.
And, that was the expectation of a lot of people, that under Sonny Dykes, that they had a terrible defense, they didn't recruit well on defense, and that they couldn't stop anybody. And so you bring in a defensive-minded coach who has a plan to tackle all these things, and you can immediately see with the win over North Carolina, though you do say Brandon Harris, every time he was in during that game, was an absolute gift to the defense. And he's upped the level of expectations within the program and outside of the program. And he's got a bunch of defensive guys that said, oh yeah, that made people say, oh yeah, hey, they don't recruit well, but these are mostly 3- and 4-star kids coming out of high school or JC or wherever. They're not exactly slouches. So he's just taught the technique and made them better, and the expectations have gone up a bit, though they were tempered by last week's performance.
Yeah, you know, what I looked at when I saw it, what impressed me about Wilcox was the way he's kind of changed everything, and then he surrounded himself with people with lots of coaching experience, whether it be Baldwin, who's had, even at a lower level, he's had head coaching experience. You've got DeRuiter. You've got all these guys that have been there before, which gives them some semblance of comfort, you know, as he's working into this head coaching job.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones that probably I think the best hire is Steve Greatwood, who's the offensive line coach. He was Oregon's offensive line coach for a number of years. And I know it's a different area, but you kind of see how much national success Oregon has with running the ball and how they're known for that quick running the ball offense. And while it's not the same, Cal will slow it down a little bit. They've worked the clock a ton better than they have in the past. They still will use a lot of that just offensive line technique and run the ball right at you. And I don't know, Greatwood's been pretty darn good for them, even though the offensive line is still very thin.
Yeah, what is this thing going to look like from just a time of possession, from a number of plays standpoint? Because, I mean, Ole Miss has been kind of frustrated. They haven't gone faster in their first year under Phil Longo. However, even though they're trying to go fast, Cal's averaging 5 more plays a game than Ole Miss through 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it'll still be Cal can play with tempo. They can slow it down a little bit. That's what's changed a little bit under Bo Baldwin. They've been able to, at least against Weber State, they were able to run the ball a bit better. Against North Carolina, it was more pass-happy just because that's how it presented itself. But it's going to be – it'll go back and forth. It'll be some fast, some slow. I know that Justin Wilcox said yesterday that he wants to slow down the Ole Miss offense, so I'm expecting to see something similar with Cal's offense, to play a little slower, test the run game, see how it works early, and go from there.
What is Cal missing with Trey Watson's absence? What does that kind of leave them? And then what does he bring that really can't be duplicated by another back on the team?
Well, his personality. He's very, very big personality, which you can't replace in any shape or fashion. He will tell you that he has the best hands on the team, if not the country, if not the world.
Yeah.
So, but you do miss a pass catching aspect out of the backfield with him. He's a very good receiver. Baldwin had put in a couple things before the season for him that they'll run with the guy who's probably going to start in Patrick Laird, but it's not quite the same. He's quick. He hit holes. He could cut back. He's everything you'd want in a running back, pretty much. And being the guy who had probably played the most out of the running backs, that's difficult to replace.
Laird is interesting to me because you watch him on film and it doesn't necessarily look like he's moving that fast. It doesn't look like he's overly agile, but people miss him like crazy. And he has this big game. He had the big catch against North Carolina where he just kind of makes things happen in a weird way when you watch his film.
Yeah. You could see it a little bit during the spring and fall camps where, hey, this guy's kind of getting a ton of reps with the first team out of nowhere. I wonder what we aren't seeing. Then, you know, he'll catch a pass or he'll, one play, what was it? It was like a stretch play during the spring where he took it about 70 yards untouched. And you're like, wow, I've never seen that from him before. And now that he's getting the opportunity with the first team and the first team reps, he's just better. And he was he's relatively unrecruited. I think he had offers from all the Ivy League schools out of high school. He was had rushed for 3,000 yards his senior year, but he didn't get any major attention. Comes to Cal as a walk-on, played receiver for a year, I think, and then just earned his way into the backfield, and he's done great with it.
When did he get his scholarship?
Just about a month ago. Actually, oh, wow. they gave five guys scholarships. Right in the middle of fall camp there.
Did you expect it? I mean, obviously, even if Watson had stayed healthy, he was going to play a fairly major role. Did you expect that, let's say, a week into camp?
As far as a scholarship, yeah. They had a few open just because they've had attrition with a new coach and Wilcox got hired so late, so they didn't really have a great recruiting class. So they gave out five scholarships. They still have a couple available, if I'm remembering correctly. So, yeah, he was one of the guys who was standing out the most during fall camp, so he certainly earned it.
I look at their depth chart, and in addition to Laird at running back, they've got kind of a couple of big bruisers. How do they work those guys into the offense?
Enwari, it's mostly going to be Laird and Enwari, and with a smattering of Derek Clark and Fabiano Hale. That's what we've been told. But and where he's a bigger back, he's not as good as you'd hope at breaking tackles, but he's a big guy. They'll use him a lot in short yardage situations. If you watch, he's played his best games against Texas over the past 2 years. He has a little chip on his shoulder because I don't think he was heavily recruited by Texas, so he took it out on him. But they'll incorporate him in there. They'll run the same things with him. It's not a matter of, hey, they'll run different things, but they'll use him more for short yardage plays.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the passing game a little bit. Ross Bowers, when I look at his stats, I see where he's been, at least from an overall stats view, which always doesn't tell you the story. It looks fairly efficient. However, I've read some of the stuff you said, like the five questions when nailing different things. You say it's been a little more hit and miss than maybe the overall stats would show.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had a couple opportunities deep. I know you've probably heard of Demetrius Robertson.
Yeah.
And he's a big deep threat, and he's been open a couple times deep, and it just either hasn't seen him or overthrows him one way or another, or they've had a big thing about how it's impossible to overthrow him. He underthrew him a ton and may threw it out of bounds on one play. So he needs to improve on his deep ball, but they were satisfied about him not turning the ball over against Weber. That was a big one for him. He threw a couple of terrible interceptions against North Carolina. But other than that, he's a tough kid. He can improvise, make things happen with his feet, get outside the pocket and make the throw. And that's what you want in your quarterback, even if Cal fans have been spoiled with a couple of NFL draft picks and Jared Goff and Davis Webb over the past couple of years.
Is it more of just a get out of the pocket to throw, or is he can he be a runner at all, or is it just extending the play to still use his arm?
It's more of an extending the play. He's admitted himself that he's not a real fast guy.
But he can't move around in the pocket side to side laterally. But
yeah, yeah. You see, his second touchdown throw against North Carolina, right after he took the massive targeting hit, he stepped up in the pocket, stepped up. He got hit by two guys, made the throw deep to Vic Wharton, and off they went from there. So he can move around a bit. He's not like Patterson in that he can run, but he can do enough as far as extending the play.
Wharton, it seems like, has been more efficient and better than Robertson at this point.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised, honestly. I feel like Bowers has made the connection with Wharton early. Robertson's been the most targeted as far as everything. He has 16 targets. I think Wharton has 13, but Wharton has 10 catches, and Robertson has... gotten the opportunity. He was playing behind Chad Hansen last year, who is with the Jets right now, and Wharton's a heck of a story. He has a kid already and another one on the way, so he's doing football, he's taking care of his kid, he's gonna have another one, he's being a student at Cal, so
he's quite
busy. He's the leading receiver.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Overall,
can't say enough about him.
Yeah. Overall, though, with the wide receivers, I mean, how would you kind of classify the group? Because, I mean, you look at it, is it a speed group? Is it a size group? What do they do well as a unit?
Well, you could probably ask Jacob Peeler about this
a
little bit.
He recruited. Yeah,
he recruited about 70% of them, including a couple of one of their freshmen who's going to play in Jeremiah Hawkins. But they've got a little bit of size. They got a guy, Jordan Vesey, who's 6'3", 215, who's the big guy. But otherwise, it's a fast group. You got Wharton, who's a speedster. You got Robertson, who's good at speed. You got number 9, Konovainoa, who's a bit more of a possession-type receiver, but he will find a way to sit in the zone, get open, do what he has to do. You got Mississippi native Jordan Duncan, who can do a bit of everything. Let's see. I think that might be all the guys who will play. I'm remembering correctly, there may be a couple more that I'm missing.
Duncan's in the
but
rotation.
Duncan's in there. Okay. Those would be the main, like, 5 or 6.
What was kind of the impression of Peeler when he was at Cal?
Ah, man, I personally love the guy. He's very nice, always kind to talk to, and, you know, he was seen as the big recruiter. He brought Robertson to Cal. He brought Duncan to Cal. A number of good receivers. Brandon Singleton, that's another one to look for. He's a bit more of a speed guy, too. Just a bunch of talent. It's affable. Just the players have a ton of respect for him. He has the NWO thing with the wide receivers now. He had that with the Cal wideouts. And there's a lot of people that are here currently or have left that speak very highly of him.
How do you anticipate Cal attacking Ole Miss? I mean, it's a defense that has been highly publicized as suspect. Mm-hmm. They should be good on the offensive line. However, at this point, they have not played as well as maybe their ranking and their past experience would dictate. And then, frankly, they've mm-hmm. been very, very bad at linebacker and safety with pretty solid quarterback play.
Yeah, I've seen some of the tackling issues. That big 59-yard run, the linebacker went straight for the hole, and it left a big lane for a cutback, and I think Cal's going to try and do something similar to that, where you use the cutbacks, you use maybe some over-aggressiveness or bad gap integrity or something like that against them, and they're going to try and test the run early and then maybe see what they can. I mean, the main pass game idea that they have is, hey, you've got a bunch of guys with speed, you might as well use them in space. And they'll use that, see if they can set up a deep ball to D-Rob at some point. But I expect them to test the run game early and then maybe try some play-action stuff to test the defense.
It's going to shift over a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. What little I've watched, it seems that Cal gives some small boxes at times, really tries to kind of get some of the teams they've played over the past, whatever, and maybe some of the stuff that Wilcox has done in the past. When they face more of an air raid type offense, he's sort of been able to use small boxes and almost dare people to run a little bit.
Yeah. They like Ole Miss, they'll shift to a 4-2-5 out of their base 3-4, and they'll bring the outside linebackers down to the defensive line, and you know it makes them smaller in that play. They take out the nose guard, so you know it's a smaller set for them. So you know they think highly enough of their linebackers that they can tackle in space, and they played Weber pretty well in the run game. I thought Weber was a much stronger running team than passing team, and look how that one worked out. But they've played relatively well just stopping things up the middle, so I think that's a gamble that they'll be willing to take since they've got plenty of youth in the defensive backfield there.
Yeah, you mentioned that. What is kind of the hope for Cal from a standpoint of guarding Ole Miss's receivers?
Tim DeRuiter said yesterday that, hey, it's impossible to emulate the Ole Miss receivers with a scout team. You got some guys who are big. You got some guys who are incredibly fast. They look like grown men out there. Which one is it? Was it Metcalf that's the one that's 6'4"?
Metcalf's 6'4"-ish, maybe 230, 225, 230.
Yeah, you're not getting that on Cal scout team there. So they have a challenge ahead of them. And, well, you got a couple of young guys, a defensive back, and Cameron Bynum and Elijah Hicks, true freshman there. And you got Jalen Hawkins, who was absent last week. He's a very rangy safety who can make plays, and they missed him a bit last week. And you got Quentin Tartable, redshirt junior, back there. He's more of a hitter type. But a lot of what they worked on is just, hey, mental mistakes. That's what led to a couple of the big touchdown plays where there's one big one on a post, and they went up on the play action, and you know you can't turn and run with a guy when he's already 5 yards behind you. So it's just a matter of making sure that everything's mentally in check, and you're going to have to at some point win a 50-50 ball with the receivers that Ole Miss has.
Podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. Why does it matter? When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the community. Oxford University Bank offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on balances up to $50,000. Also, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. And OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its app. To learn more, check them out, liveoxfordbankoxford.com or 662-234-6668. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswald. He's a realtor specializing in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. Also works with Tom Smith Land and Homes, who's by far the largest broker of land in the state. Michael's from the Delta, but now lives in Jackson. Also comes up to Lafayette County often. So look him up on his website, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. And read recent testimonials or ask about his track record. Look online and see what type of properties he currently has listed. Three ways to get in touch with Michael: 662-719-3967. Also, his Facebook page, or send him an email. It's michael@tomsmithland.com. Also, maybe the start of football season. Never too early to start thinking about hoops. The start of registration for youth basketball in the Oxford Park Commission is less than a week from starting Monday, September 18th. First opportunity to sign your son or daughter up in all the different leagues that are open for children ages 5 to 15. Cost to play basketball is just $50 per child. Games will be played in the Activity Center on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday mornings. For more information on registration or other classes and programs offered by OPC, visit oxfordparkcommission.com. Last but certainly not least, podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts all over North Mississippi to help you with your lawn care needs, or with skier beaters to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes. For your yards not up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And when you sign an annual contract, mention the podcast. First cut is free. I use them, and you should too. Again, 662-607-7773.
The Oxford Exxon Podcast is brought to you in part by Vitamend. Vitamend, the new address, 3010 Old Taylor Road, in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments, next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. Vitamin Hydration Therapy still has the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added cryosauna. It's great for removing inflammation, toxins, speeds up recovery from a workout, burns calories, speeds up metabolism, and more. Gets as cold as minus 220. The entire process is done in 2 minutes. If that's not what's for you, you can try the infrared sauna. It removes toxins, detox. It's not your typical dry sauna, though. It doesn't get 200 degrees. It gets about 130 to 140. You can stay in longer. Vitamind offers combo packages, detox, the infrared, and then get fluids afterwards. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend. They have a smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. It's locally sourced. 638-3600 is the number. Open Tuesday through Sunday, IVs and shots Friday through Sunday. Give them a call or send them an email, info@vitamind.com. The podcast is also sponsored by State Farm agent Romero Miller. The former Ole Miss star, longtime contributor to RebelGrove.com, can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com, on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm, or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm is located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or people who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Again, it's Ben Brown at journeybizsolutions.com. Now back to the show.
It's up on your site now. People can watch it at goldenbearreport.com, where DeRuiter had spoken to the media. But what was kind of his main goal as far as how to defend Patterson?
Well, he actually compared Patterson to his final year at Texas A&M. He had Johnny Football as his scout team quarterback, and it's a heck of a comparison to make, at least at the college level. And just the thing is keeping Patterson from getting outside, keeping him from extending plays, keeping him at least a little bit off balance to try not to, you know, he's got all these receiving targets. I saw him hit a couple of deep balls, I believe, to Brown a couple times, and one to, I think he hit one to Lodge early last week too, if I'm remembering correctly. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's just a matter of setting an edge, playing contain. That's something that they haven't done well with their first two games, or at least one and a half. They contain the edge pretty well in the second half against North Carolina, and just keeping him in and making it difficult for him, keeping the clock running down in his head and figuring out a way to force turnovers.
Yeah, they've used Metcalf and Lodge down the field a little more. The big thing with A.J. Brown is that he has so many of the yards after catch where they're just trying to basically get him in the ball and in space and let him break tackles and get down the field.
Yeah. Brown was a guy that Peeler was recruiting very heavily for Cal, and they got a bit of a consolation prize with Robertson, but he's a very, very talented receiver. Can't say enough about him.
Has Robertson met expectations, or were the expectations just too high to even potentially meet?
I'd say as a freshman, he certainly met expectations. He either tied or broke the records for receptions, yards, and touchdown receptions by a freshman, and those were held by DeSean Jackson and Keenan Allen. So, you know, he's living up to those. They just haven't used him. They haven't connected with him as much recently, and Bowers has said, hey, I need to connect more with D-Rob because he's this big threat that we have going for us, and we're silly if we don't use him. And they're finding other ways to use him. I expect, like, they used him in a reverse last week where he took it 34 yards for a touchdown. I expect they'll use him a little more in that capacity. He played some running back in high school, so they may want to use him as a runner. They have him listed as the starting kick returner, but he hasn't returned a kick yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there Saturday as well. So they're going to find a way to use him more.
How is Cal overall injury-wise after two games?
Let's see. With Watson, Watson's the big one. Otherwise, there isn't too much to say. They have a one guy in a Cam Saffel who started the North Carolina game, who is their returning leader in sacks from a year ago. He's questionable, I'd say, because I've seen him in practice with pads. I saw him without pads the other day. It's a bit touch and go. Their big thing is, hey, we're not going to tell you unless it's season ending, and then we'll tell you upper body or lower body.
How good did you feel like North Carolina was? I mean, when you watch that game and you leave it, what do you think? I mean, from the standpoint of the level of competition from the Tar Heels.
Well, again, Brandon Harris, he's not a good quarterback.
No.
But the guy that they had behind him, Surratt, a real good quarterback.
Freshman? Is that right?
Talented running back, and Michael Carter, who he ran all over him in the first half, and they started stopping him in the second half. I'd say they're down from last year, where they were 8-5 a year ago. I think that's a 6-win team, but again, perception is everything. You're going out on the road for the first game under your new coach at a 9 a.m. Pacific start time and against a Power 5 team, too. So I believe that kind of, even though the perception of North Carolina may not be as high now just because they've lost a couple games, it was still a tough opponent that you have to beat no matter what. I don't know. They're not great, but they're not terrible. I can't really quantify it more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big win when you talk about that. Just cross country early in the day. It is a Power 5 opponent. It's something to get some momentum early in the year when you know you got Weber the next week. I mean, it was huge from that standpoint. But I mean, that's the thing. And look, Flair Fedora, I mean, obviously we're used to him because he was at Southern Miss down here.
Mm-hmm.
It what level though? He goes, hey, I have a quarterback problem. Let's go to LSU and get their backup. That's how we're going to fix this thing. It just seems amazing to me because, I mean, Brandon Harris prevented LSU from winning national championships.
Yeah, he prevented them from winning that game, too.
Yeah, so. I mean, he's not good. I mean, no offense to the man. I hope his mom was not listening, but it's just he's not good at quarterback. Last week, because I kind of did this with Ole Miss a little bit. It's an 11 a.m. start for Ole Miss. They played UT Martin. They were down 16-7. Okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought it was a look ahead a little bit. Is that what you took from Cal, or did you see something else?
A little bit of a look ahead. I mean, the problems in the defense backfield, you got to shore those up because you're playing one of the best passing attacks that you're going to play all year. I can't really think of too many better than what Ole Miss brings to the table with their three guys in Patterson. But other than that, the coaches have basically said, hey, these guys, while we thought we had a good week of practice, we got to impress on them that you can't have these kind of mental mistakes when it comes to playing bigger competition like Ole Miss, or then they got USC next week, and then the week after that they have Oregon. So I think it might have been a little bit of a look ahead, but they need to correct some of the issues in the defensive backfield and with the offensive line. The offense allowed 10 tackles for loss from Weber State. That can't happen again either.
Yeah, if you've got defensive backfield problems, it's hard to find two better quarterbacks coming in than Patterson and Sam Darnold. That's a tough one too.
Yeah. And then you got Herbert at Oregon after that, and what's his name, Jake Browning, the week after that. So it's a bit of a murderer's row in there.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit it. I mean, there's a problem with Ole Miss too. I mean, because when I watch that, I go, I don't care how much they were looking ahead. They can't tackle and they can't stop the run. I mean, Ole Miss defensive coordinator Weston McGriff, I give him credit on Monday. Is somebody asked him about the pass defense, and he said, well, the corners were good, but nobody had to throw. I mean, if he said, if I was an offensive coordinator, I wouldn't have thrown on us either because you can run on us. And I think that's going to continue to be a problem. I don't know that it's fixable given the level of talent in their back seven right now.
That was my biggest question about Ole Miss is how do they defend the pass, because they haven't had to so far. And they weren't, if I'm remembering correctly, they weren't exactly the best at it a year ago either. But it's a new defensive coordinator, and bit of a new scheme, I'm assuming. So
it's a new scheme. It's probably a simpler scheme, but it's very similar mm-hmm. to it's a 4-2-5 or a 4-3, depending mm-hmm. on what you want to call their hybrid linebacker safety guy. I mean, you can call him whatever you want to call him to make it a 4-2-5 or a 4-3. They're good at corner. I mean, Miles Hartsfield's good. Ken Webster, mm-hmm. we thought, was going to have the potential to be an all-SEC caliber corner before he had a tremendous leg injury against Florida State in the opener last year. I don't know if you remember that or not. He's back a year later. Yeah, he's back a year later, but, you know, is the quick twitch exactly the same? Well, nobody's really thrown on him much, so I don't know what that's going to look like. And then they had Jalen Jones, who was one of the top freshman corners in the country last year, that they've actually mm-hmm. moved to safety now. He's also a really good kick returner. So it's undecided. I don't know what to make out of them other than they're a little unstable at safety, and then they potentially have good cornerbacks.
Yeah, and they got those Moore kids. I saw them as well.
Yeah. Really big personalities, twins from down here. Good story, if nothing else, as they're both playing a good bit now. So, you know, but they've had guys not pan out. I mean, they had Deontay Anderson, who was a top 100 national recruit, a safety that they thought would really energize the back as part of their defense, and he's redshirting this year as a sophomore because he couldn't get the rotation.
Yeah, Cal's a kid like that. Nigel Edmonds from Tennessee is four-star cornerback. They took four cornerbacks in the 2016 class. He's the only one that hasn't played so far.
And he was the big one.
Yeah, he was the highest ranked of them all, and he's gotten beaten out by a true freshman this year and Elijah Hicks, who's actually beaten everybody out. So,
because of Pac-12 scheduling rules and different things, plenty of non-conference opponents with decent names coming to Cal over the years. What do you expect from a crowd standpoint tomorrow night?
I mean, from what I've heard, Ole Miss travels pretty well, so I'd expect them to come in and put in a different shade of blue into the crowd there, a bit of red too. The biggest one recently was 2013 when they had Ohio State come to town, and it was the stadium was half red, and it was not a great experience as Kenny Guyton, their quarterback before JT Barrett, he came in, and my brother's an Ohio State graduate. That was my final year as a student there at Cal.
Uh-huh.
So my brother sent me pictures of Kenny Guyton photoshopped onto Kenny G all day, and that, you know, that's the indelible image that sticks with you. But they have had a number of last SEC opponent actually was 10 years ago against Tennessee, and I mean that was a whole different game. That was a whole different stadium, to be honest. They redid it in it was for the 2012 opener. And while I don't know if it probably won't get to the Tennessee level because that was a sea of people, but I'm expecting over 50,000 people there.
Yeah, Ole Miss doesn't. I don't expect them to have really a presence as far as residents in that area. However, so many mm-hmm. people are using it as kind of a late summer vacation, kind of that once in a generation trip where they go do the wine country and stuff for a week. So no, I expect a good crowd there. It's not going to be great, but definitely more so than, you know, if it was a trip that had been made a couple times over the last 10 years. So it'll be good. What did Texas bring you? Just curious.
Games and stuff. It was quite a bit. I know it was over 50,000 last year. I think it was around 52 and or maybe 55. I don't remember, but there was a lot of orange there. Yeah, in a down year for them.
Yeah, they traveled really well to Oxford. They did a home and home in 12 and 13, if I remember correctly, and they brought a mm-hmm. bunch over in 12 for that. It was right when Hugh Freeze was beginning. Mm-hmm. Kind of last couple things with you. Appreciate the time. What would you suggest for people, obviously not what they just pull up on the internet, but from a tourist standpoint, a couple things to do while they're there, a couple restaurants that maybe isn't going to get mentioned when they do some searches, but that they should check out?
Okay. All right. I was afraid of this part because I'm more familiar with a lot of the student stuff in Berkeley, which is more, you know, quantity over quality, to be honest. But, you know, you hit it with wine country. You can go up to Napa and Sonoma and just go around all the wineries. There's some in Livermore, too, which is south, actually. You know, there'll be some stuff. They can go to San Francisco, go walk on the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm from Marin, which is on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. So going up to the Marin Headlands up there for a nice hike, if you want to do that, it's a breathtaking view. Like every time you see a picture on a hill of the Golden Gate Bridge, it's usually from there, and you can usually find that spot and take a picture there. And so, I mean, the weather's been pretty good. It's gone between sunny and foggy like it usually does around this time. Let me think about actual places to eat. That's tough. I mean, can come see our cheese board is one of our famous pizza places. I mean, maybe it's more of a West Coast deal, but they're vegetarian, so you may get some uproar about that. But they make one kind of pizza every day. The line's always out the door, almost around the corner. And you'll see people eating it on the median out there in front of the place, in the middle of the street, really, because there's a nice little grassy patch right there.
And it's just one kind every day?
Yeah, one type of pizza every day. They have a list of it every day. Okay. And they have a special, like, green spicy sauce that goes with it. That's real nice. There's a ton of stuff on Shattuck Avenue there, and that's at the bottom of campus. My favorite place is Jupiter. It's just like a beer, pizza, that sort of thing place. The beer is excellent. I recommend the Quasar. It's a double IPA. It'll knock your socks off.
All right.
If you get past three, let me know, because that's my record. So they serve them in like 20-ounce things, so it's a good deal.
Yeah, like I said, that could pop you a little bit, though, at that number.
Yeah, that's why I haven't gone back there for a while now.
Gotcha. No, that's good stuff, and I'll have people kind of tweet at you if they have questions or different things.
Of course.
What do you expect from the – I mean, I know we're 2 years away, and Lord knows where either program is at the point, but what do you expect as far as people coming to Oxford in a couple of years?
It's a unique trip, because that's one thing that's a lot different about Berkeley than Oxford is you're not going to get the kind of tailgating experience that you get in the South.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. There's, one, not enough space, and, two, the culture isn't quite like that. So – I know a ton of people are excited to, they're already planning the trip down to Oxford right now and just trying to, it's still a little bit up in the air as far as date and everything, but what they're going to do coming on down, I think they'll bring a good contingent. It's not going to be as much as another, like say a Texas or someone like that, but there's still going to be a sizable chunk of people coming down for that one.
Last thing, I guess I'll ask you. I don't know that I've seen this anywhere. Maybe you have it in content still to come. What do you think Saturday night? Who wins, and what's the game look like?
Ah, man. I'm never a good prediction person. I've been very wrong in both the first two games, to be honest. But I expect it's going to be tough to defend the pass for Cal against Ole Miss, and it's going to be tough for Ole Miss to cover the run from what I've seen so far. So unless we see some drastically flipped defenses on Saturday, I think we're going to see a shootout. And my thought was, hey, 42-41. And I think it's honestly a coin flip for whoever wins.
Yeah.
I think Cal May, with some home field advantage, could pull it out, but I could very easily see it going the other way too.
It's that deal where, you know, Vegas set the total at 72 and all the talk.
Yeah,
don't pick a winner. Just take the over.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the theme of Cal games for the past 4 years, but that's changing a little bit. No.
I buried this. I didn't ask. Last thing for sure. Special teams. Where's Cal kind of sitting in that area?
Oh, they got a fantastic kicker in Matt Anderson. I think he was a semifinalist for the Grozo Award last year. He's probably going to be a finalist this year. He's a very talented kid. He's actually the male model, too. They had this big deal with their throwback uniforms, and they had Anderson model them for him. So
okay. Had the kicker model.
To do. Yeah, because they're going for a guy named Joe Ross, who was a quarterback back in the 70s. It's a whole long story that I'll leave you guys to Google and everything. But he died of malignant melanoma not too long after his college days, and he played his senior year at Cal with well knowing he had cancer. So,
wow,
it's a whole deal. Okay. But it's a big story. You guys will probably want to read it at some point. At punter, they actually have two guys at punter. They have Dylan Klumpf, who will be the guy that they go to when they want to kick it deep. And they got Stephen Coots, a graduate transfer from the former Louisiana Lafayette. He's a big Australian punter who they use for directional stuff when they're closer in. And kick return, so they haven't done much in the way of returning stuff. They have a couple of track guys and Robertson and Ashton Davis, who's, I think he was the hurdler champion for 110 meters for the Pac-12. And they got Wharton back for punt returns, but they haven't done anything at either of those yet. So it remains to be seen.
Both teams really like their kickers then, because Gary Wunderlich was excellent for Ole Miss, even though he's missed a couple already this season and looked kind of out of form compared to 2016. So we'll see, I guess. But either way, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be high scoring and kind of feels like, you know, turnover in the red zone or kind of whoever gets it last, frankly, because I don't see their defense putting up a ton of fight. So we'll see how it goes on Saturday night.
Been pretty good at forcing turnovers, but other than that, I could see it going either way.
And I think Ole Miss has one. I think they have one interception, and that's it on the season to this point, because I don't think they had a turnover against South Alabama in the opener. So
I saw the one interception against UT Martin. So.
Bless you for watching that game, because I was in the press box and not paying a ton of attention. So that was...
I've had it on in the background and taken a couple clips out of it. But other than that,
I actually get the Pac-12 network, so I did see some Cal stuff over the first couple of weeks. Somehow our package has the Pac-12 network. So
nice.
Yeah, it hadn't been too bad at all. But anyway, GoldenRebelReport.com. What else do you have coming up on the site prior to Saturday night?
Just a couple more previews. We'll do like a keys to game thing. I'm gonna have a piece I have to write here about Patrick Laird. He's a big story this week. You have everyone in the media surprised about him, and then when you interview all the players, they're like, we kind of expected this from him. So, just the whole, he's a very interesting young man. So,
okay. Well,
that's all I can say about him.
We'll check that out. Again, appreciate the extended amount of time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. I'll talk to you then.
The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. The month of October is going to be big for tailgating in Oxford. Vanderbilt comes to town. Arkansas comes to town. LSU comes to town. That means people headed to the Grove. You're tailgating in the Grove. You want to do it with 7 South Tailgating. It's owned and operated by Colin Jordan Thornton. They're equipped with the largest staff in the Grove. They can service most any of your tailgating needs. They have complete rental packages available. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They can set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor in the Grove, but they'll still manage to know each customer personally by name. They typically sell out for every game, so visit the site today. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com, 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Results are updated daily. and then he'll do the rest. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan's the place to go if you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle. Great new vehicles, previously owned vehicles, superb lease deals. You can get a 1990s price on a brand new Nissan with some of their lease specials there at Grenada Nissan. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene, Sandy, Byron, and all the great people there at Grenada Nissan that you heard about it here on the podcast, you heard about it at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. The website, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to the show.
Thanks to Trace for joining us here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline and the podcast. It will give all of you guys a good look into tomorrow night's game. Also forgot to mention a story up at rebelgrove.com on Gray Kessinger, the Ole Miss shortstop. Had a Jones fracture in the offseason. Actually happened the first day of the SEC tournament, hours before, as you remember, as he reached down to pick up a ping pong ball. And the break went all the way through. He'd been dealing with some soreness and different things, but had the surgery. A couple weeks later, Robert Anderson, famed foot specialist with the Carolina Panthers, had former patients of Derek Jeter, Kevin Durant, Cam Newton, and others. He performed the surgery. It went well. Rehab has been fantastic, and Gray is full speed as Ole Miss begins fall baseball today. This afternoon, they're going to have a practice at Swayze. Tomorrow, they'll practice at Swayze. All practices open to the public, and then the first intra-squad Sunday. Again, all intra-squads at Oxford High School. Because of the construction down the first base line, they can't do game stuff at Swayze. If they did a banana route around first base, they would literally run into a construction zone. So Oxford High School for their inter-squads. I'll make sure on the board that I put up when those are happening, what the times are, because I know a lot of you guys go when you're in town, and because they're open to the public. So that is up also at rebelgrove.com. I'll have some other baseball coverage coming. I'm going to look at the difficulty so far and the optimism for Parker Kiraisi, a guy that didn't make the 35-man roster last year, but a pitcher with a lot of talent, had a huge summer in his summer league, and now he is making a move to get into a very talented Ole Miss rotation as well. So that story and more coming up from a baseball standpoint. Obviously plenty of football, even though next week is a bye week. Yesterday, Ole Miss also picked up a basketball commitment. I think that story is up at rebelgrove.com. Also, when I look at it, it is one of their top backcourt targets for this coming or this current recruiting class. Sorrell Smith, he announced it yesterday on Twitter. He says Kennedy has been committed since day one. His mother told Rebel Grove, since he made the offer in July, I don't think he missed a game. That was huge for us to make that commitment. And watching him watch so many games, that was priceless. That's what gave the edge, to be honest. He picked the Rebels up at Wichita State and Dayton. Also had offers from Florida State, South Florida, Rhode Island, and others. So good guard there, good guy to start off the class for Ole Miss a year after having an excellent class, even though it did get hit by some attrition with some different things. So that's where Ole Miss basketball is, that season starting very, very soon as well. So, again, thanks for the week that you've given us. Thanks for hanging in during a little bit of a difficult time on our end as we've been traveling all over the country. But hope you've enjoyed the coverage all the way from Covington to Berkeley for tomorrow night. So check rebelgrove.com. Check out our family of podcasts up, including the recruiting podcast, the Soft Verbal presented by Billy's Pecans, and the Beer Garden presented by the Oxford Crystal with all the line talk. Again, I had a huge week. I was 5-1 against the spread, so we'll see how I do this week. I've got Ole Miss beating Cal 38-34. Should be a close game either way. Plus a couple turnovers early turns this thing in one way or the other. So for Neil, who's not here, I know he appreciates it as well. And again, for Trace, thanks to him for giving us this much time. I'm Chase Farm, and we will talk to you on Monday.